is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we'll talk about it here. I'm Charlie Mourne, and this is episode 154 for Wednesday, April the 17th, 2019. Joining me for this podcast, we have our return sort of co-hosts. We have John Jiggles Eggleston and Rita. How are you both?
Very good. Good to be back.
Going well. Thanks, Charlie.
Great to hear. Right, let's get stuck into this inbound special.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So as I have already mentioned, this episode is going to be a special on inbound marketing. So our making news item is one on inbound, coming from a slightly different side of the coin on the topic. And then for our deep dive topic, we are jumping into inbound marketing and how to do it well. So kicking off with our news item for this week, and this comes from Samuel Scott, who was a keynote marketing speaker, and this came from an article in The Drum. And basically, Sam's not happy with inbound marketing.
No.
So the title of the article is "Content is the Worst Word in Marketing." So I'll give you a bit of a summary on the article. Basically, Sam's not particularly happy with how inbound marketing is making this transition to spammy content, sort of putting out lots of resources for the sake of it, and basically saying that really advertising has never been dead. And actually inbound is giving this wave to brands and services that really they don't need to be offering this kind of clickbait service, that actually you still want to be using the traditional advertising models. It's a really interesting one that actually got us sort of properly debating in the office. Essentially, Sam feels that the word content itself is no longer meaning something specific or precise. It's becoming way, way too generalized, and it's now getting used for pretty much everything. So whether you're doing a video or a blog or sort of new information on your website or ebook, everything's just falling under this umbrella of content. Whereas Sam's basically saying, no, look, you should be very specific with your use of terminology, and also advertising is not dead. So this may well be coming from a disgruntled advertiser who's now sort of getting a bit over the whole inbound thing. So Rita, we're talking to school marketers, and we don't believe, I mean, we've been longtime advocates for inbound marketing on the show, but why is spamming sort of our customers, why is that not a thing for school marketers?
Okay, I have a lot to say on this. I thought it was actually a really interesting article to read, because as we were discussing here in the office as well, it's really interesting and worthwhile to get a different perspective on what you're doing, because particularly for a lot of our clients, content is extremely important. A lot of it ties back to your budget. I mean, not everyone has a massive budget to advertise, you know, press adverts, billboards, etc. So that's why getting really smart with the type of content you're creating.
Oh, there we go.
I should really emphasize relevant content, because the reality is that you are creating content, but it's important that it's not spamming, that it's relevant.
Yeah. If we're talking about tech or we're talking about dishwashers or something, then inbound for sure probably isn't the right approach. But I mean, if we are doing something about schools where prospective parents are really looking for information, aren't they?
Completely agreed. I mean, we're not Sam. My good friend Sam works in IT, as far as I'm aware. So this is something that is a very different type of industry to schools. If something is a fast moving consumer good, then there is only so much you can say about dishwashing tablets, for example. But the life cycle of a customer, a prospective parent in school is much, much longer. And there's a much greater level of research that's happening in advance of making such a big decision for their child. Therefore, the idea of blogs and relevant content and blogs becomes extremely important.
Yeah, for sure. Sam goes on to say that sending out loads and loads of emails seems like a really outbound thing to do. So outbound, we're talking sort of traditional, reaching out to your customer, telling them about your benefits, whereas inbound tends to be sort of solving customers' issues. But John, for schools, sending out countless emails, as Reed said, it's not really spam. It's actually you're getting them part of that kind of that workflow that will make it so much easier for school marketers to deal with leads.
We've got to clarify the difference between sending out countless emails and sending out targeted emails at the right time that are going to help your parents and leads actually make a decision or get them further down the funnel. It's not so much a matter of just like, just send this email, send that one, send this one. Like, you could be spamming them with emails, but if you're doing it correctly and if you're using your strategy and if you're targeting well, it's not like outbound at all, because you're not just throwing all the information out there. You're specifically sending it at the right time to the people that you want to see it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Sam says traditional offline media is best for advertising and PR campaigns at the top of the funnel, while online media is best for direct response at the bottom of the funnel. Now, Rita, for the customer lifecycle for prospective parents, it's different, isn't it? It's different to a regular good.
It is. It can take years and years for a parent to make a decision on their child. I mean, they go through the awareness stage, then they go through the consideration stage, which can be quite extensive. And then there's the decision-making stage. I mean, there's a very interesting statistic on prospective parents in schools. They've literally gone through 57% of their journey, their customer journey, before they even engage with the school. So this really means that there's a significant amount of time being spent on researching before they actually contact the school.
And the only way that they're going to be able to do that research effectively is if you do have some effective resources on your website, on your social media, whatever it is, but you have that information where parents can really do their almost their pre-decision before they've even got in touch with you. Whereas if I'm going to go buy a new dishwasher, I'm just going to walk around a store, I'm going to be spoken to, and I'm probably going to make a decision there and then, or maybe do a bit more research, but I'm definitely not going to download an ebook on how to choose the best dishwasher for your washing needs.
You might. You might. There's someone for everything. But absolutely agreed. I mean, it's a longer process and it's a big investment. So it takes longer to make that decision.
And there's something to say that inbound shouldn't be the whole sort of the only side of the coin that you actually look at. I mean, I think Sam gets quite caught up on it's either inbound or it's outbound, whereas you don't have to have one or the other, do you?
Again, it does come back to just trying different things. There shouldn't be just one approach to your strategy. It's one element of it. There is a significant amount of time required, you know, labor time to prepare. But, you know, absolutely, if you have budget for advertising as well offline, that's completely an option.
So there was a little point that it sort of made us giggle when we were debating it. And it was the topic of marketers versus normal people, if you can imagine sort of air quotes going on. So marketers, this is according to Sam and obviously a statistic where he has certainly researched. Marketers love social media, but most people do not. 93% of marketers use LinkedIn, 14% of normal people do. 81% of marketers use Twitter and 22% of normal people do. I love the definition of marketers and normal people. That really got me. I thought it was an interesting angle to talk about. I mean, yes, we're working in a marketing space. So this is what we live and breathe and we're doing it every single day. The idea that normal people sort of aren't using social media is, I think, a bit far-fetched. But I do think there is an element of you've got to make sure that you are getting some really good research about your prospective audience before you decide on a strategy, before you decide on a channel, because yes, you might love it. And here we're talking about social media, but you might be talking about print or you might be talking about art at home. It's important that you don't get caught up in your own internal idea on priorities, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree. You have to start with your strategy and then look at your parents, look at your prospective parents and figure out where they are, where they're meeting. They might not be on LinkedIn, but they very well could be. That's the thing. You can't just generalize about huge groups of people like this because your strategy has to like define where you go and look, you got to look at some research and figure out which direction to go.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, when you consider that billions of people, if not millions, again, I don't have an exact statistic on this, are hanging out on Facebook. But the reality is a parent is extremely interested in seeing, you know, photographs that, you know, the sports carnival or the swimming carnival of their child. So they are looking out for that sort of imagery and what their children are doing on social media as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he says, remember, we marketers are not the market. And I completely get that point. But if you're talking about TV, that's completely cost prohibitive for most schools. So yes, we take that point, but also it has to be realistic about what we can actually afford and what we can make happen. So we've spoken a lot about inbound already. So I'm sure everyone's eager to deep dive into the topic further about how we can do inbound properly and how we can make it really work for your school.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So now to the deep dive where we talk and agree or disagree on various matters in the field of school marketing. And so for our third deep dive topic, we're continuing on the theme and we are talking about inbound marketing and how to do it well for schools. So we've riffed on Sam's article for a while, but now we're going to talk about if you are looking at moving to inbound marketing, how is it going to work for your school and how are you going to make it work? So I suppose first off, why do we like inbound marketing for schools? Why does it work particularly for this industry? I suppose if you're looking at inbound versus outbound, typically outbound is selling yourself. You're putting your message in front of people. Imagine a big billboard. You're displaying your school, you're displaying your product or service, and you're shouting out about yourself and what you offer. Whereas inbound, the whole idea with inbound is that you're focusing on the customer. So you're focusing on your prospective parent and their wants and needs. So really it's a bit of a paradigm shift if you really think about it, because what it means is that any prospective parent, you have to think about what are they going through in their life cycle, their decision life cycle? What are the information sort of resources that they're going to want? Are they going to want to choose sort of top tips on how to choose a school for your child, whether it's sort of primary or secondary or co-educational or single sex or whatever it is? There's a lot of information that prospective parents are going to wade through. So moving across to inbound, you're solving problems for your prospective parent. So how are we going to do it well? So we need to make sure that we are planning it effectively. And so right at the start, this comes down to research. So Rita, something that we advocate for and we know is central to a successful inbound strategy is having some buyer personas, isn't it?
Completely. This is really step number one when you're setting up an inbound program to establish buyer personas for your school or your organization. It's really important to understand who you're talking to. What are their pain points? Demographically, where they're based? What is their age group? It's just really good to, when you're writing blogs or creating content, to refer back to who your buyer personas are, who really represent who your customers are, or prospective customers, so that you're speaking to them and answering the questions that they have.
Okay, so just being devil's advocate on that, Rita, we know research is important for whether you're doing inbound or outbound, but I suppose for if you're taking on this kind of inbound strategy, that you also need to know what they're searching for as well, not just sort of who are they, but kind of what are they thinking?
You do. You need to know what sort of keywords, what are their questions? And there's so many different types of platforms and things that you can use to actually support that, to see what people are searching for. Consoles, Google Console and Keyword Planner, for example, these all help in understanding what are the questions that prospective parents are asking.
Yeah. And I suppose going back to Sam's article, that you actually need to be thinking about what people are searching for, not necessarily what you as a school want to be found for. You need to think about what your prospective parents are searching for. So for example, if your school, you want to be sort of presented in a certain light, you've got your key messages and you've got the sort of the identity that you want to portray, you have to be quite clear about the language that prospective parents are using. So they might not use sort of a term such as, I don't know, co-educational. They might be talking about single sex or mixed sex or whatever it is. It might be, you have to really think about the language of your prospective parents, not getting caught up in your own sort of internal language.
Absolutely. Mm. Because the thing is, really, if you're putting up terminology and keywords that people are not using, you won't be found.
Yeah.
And that's really important that you're being found.
Okay. So John, when we're looking at selecting those keywords, how can we take that a little bit step further? So Rita mentioned a couple of those planning tools, but what are the other aspects that you're kind of going to be looking for when you're starting out that planning stage?
I think one of the most important things you can do for a inbound marketing campaign or whatever you want to call it is to create a content calendar from your strategy. So you've looked at your prospective parents, you've looked at their personas and demographics and all that sort of thing, and you've found their pain points, and now you want to put together a content calendar so that you know what information you want to be putting out and when it goes out. So that might be blogs, that might be podcasts if you're really, really excited into it. We do a podcast, we like it. You know, whatever that might be, like, you know, content landing pages on your website, that's whatever that content might be, yeah.
And really, Rita, it's remorseless consistency, isn't it? I mean, those are the words that are the wise words that come from former hosts of the show and founders, obviously, Brad and Scully. It's that remorseless consistency.
Look, that's it. It takes time. It's certainly not a silver bullet or an overnight solution. It takes time and effort and planning. It can take at least 6 to 8 months to start to see results and drive traffic to your website from the blogs or the content, the relevant content you're creating.
Yeah. Okay. So 6 to 8 months. So say we're a school and we're facing some enrollment issues for year six. An inbound strategy probably isn't going to solve that terms problem, is it?
Certainly not in the immediate future. That's where, if, for example, you've got lack of waiting lists in certain years, you can drive group tours or school tours through digital marketing. That's a much quicker sort of result, but inbound is not an overnight solution.
And really, I should say that outbound, there are no guarantees that that's an overnight solution either. I mean, Absolutely. Yes, you can spend a lot on your advertising campaign, but again, overnight solutions, we know that purchasing a school, deciding on which school you're going to send your child to, it isn't a snap decision, and you're rarely going to have a billboard that's going to make you go, yeah, right, we're changing schools.
Mm. Completely. And it comes back to planning, because really, if you've got gaps in certain years in your school enrollments, this is something that needs to be recognized well in advance. So proper planning and forward planning on how you resolve issues like that is fundamental.
Mm. And having good communication between, I suppose, the marketing officer or whoever the school marketer is and the enrollments team as well, because
definitely,
yeah, I mean, it's shocking, I suppose, to be at this stage and schools suddenly being on the back foot that they didn't realize that they've, look, we're suddenly looking at an enrollment issue, or if there's a program that you're running and the numbers are dropping off, that shouldn't really come as a surprise.
No, it's really important that both work in tandem, because the customer life cycle certainly doesn't end once they register for a group tour or a school tour. what happens next. And that's really important to work in tandem.
That segues beautifully into talking about follow-ups.
Hugh must have been listening to last week's podcast, Rita, because that's what we were talking about, following up with the parents after they've converted or made the commitment. Whatever that may be, that could be signing up for your tour, that could be downloading an ebook or enrolling. But yes, it's very important that once your parent has converted or enrolled or whatever it may be, that you don't just sort of go, yep, got them, next one. You have to keep giving them content, keep feeding them emails, keep nurturing them, basically, is the key word there, to make sure that they still feel like they're being looked after, they still keep being given information and feel special.
Feel special. Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's not a snap decision to move to inbound. That's the kind of thing. And we're not saying it's inbound or outbound, but if you are moving to an inbound mindset, that it's not something you run for 6 months and then drop off. You need that consistency and building, because it takes, as we said, it takes months, if not years, to build this solid base where you've got all this great content, blogs or whatever it is, whether it's blogs or ebooks
or videos
or whatever it is, just as long as you've got that consistency, then you know that you've got that library there of information that people can come to you for to find out more. I suppose one drawback that I would want to mention though is that an inbound approach is, and obviously this is all gearing your school up to optimizing your search engine optimization. So you are a bit subject to algorithm changes. And this is something that we do see. So guys, I'll throw to you, this might be a bit of a hard one to answer, but how do schools protect themselves against algorithm changes?
Yeah, you just have to be completely on top of it. Really, Google's changing their algorithm all the time, but it's mostly just small changes that don't have a huge effect. But the thing is, you have to keep like on top of it, keep looking at what the differences are so that you can tweak your content. And that doesn't mean like, you know, every week check up, you know, what's the latest changes. It just means maybe every quarter or something like that, there'll be articles out talking about this sort of stuff. Marketers love to talk about Google algorithm changes. And yeah, just see what's different and if there's a way you can adjust your content to help your SEO.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose if we are combining a bit of an outbound and inbound approach, any marketing collateral that you have built up through your inbound, you can direct people to that from any outbound advertising that you do. So if you're doing digital, if you're doing at home, if you're doing print, whatever it is, driving people to your website and then they sort of see the amazing resources that you have there, you're then getting them into that sort of that workflow and they can start really learning more. So that's kind of, I suppose, the best way to ideally work around. But obviously, it's all dependent on your budget, your timeline, your resources. Mm-hmm. So think about what's right for your school.
Yeah, it's not just Google that controls everything. There are many different ways that your parents can find your website and get in contact.
Absolutely, right. Hopefully that has given you a real insight into inbound marketing. It's a massive topic. I'm sure we can break it down further from that, but hopefully that has answered some of your questions.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So we are now on to our question of the week. And the question this week comes from Tim Rowe from Mater Christi College in Victoria, who's a longtime listener and supporter of the show. So thanks very much, Tim, for submitting this one. He said, what are the top X number of things? What are the top things that distract school marketers from strategy? So we spoke about this. I mean, we think there's probably maybe five, maybe four top things that are the most distracting for school marketers. I'll kick us off with time. So time pressures. We know from last year's school marketing and social media survey that time ranked as the biggest frustration for school marketers. So I can imagine that's going to be pretty consistent across all areas, not just social media. We know that, John, school marketers, and this is probably the second big pressure that they face, is that school marketers might have a lot of different responsibilities.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of school marketers these days are wearing many different hats. They could be the public relations person. They could be the events organizer. They could be a registrar or admin or anything like that, all the same time doing school marketing and being expected to do all those different things. So that does link into time, having not much time and being expected to do a lot of things. So you could get into that situation of like the lumberjack who doesn't have time to sharpen his axe because he's got too many trees to cut down. You know, it's the...
Where'd you get that one from? That was...
Yeah, I like that.
Just came right off the top of the head.
Yeah, guys. expect these things from me. I'm on top of it.
Okay, so time pressures, responsibilities. Probably one thing that I'd say is about strategy. So things that distract school marketers from strategy. Well, what's the strategy look like? Is it a big dusty document that no one can actually reference? Or is it something that's workable and pinned up on your page and everyone knows what they're supposed to, how they fit into it? Because yes, everything that school marketers do should fit into a broader strategy that's going to help support the overall school's marketing strategy and ideally the whole school strategy. But if it's not clear about how you break that down and have clear identifiable goals, obviously making sure they're smart, making sure they are specific, then obviously that's going to be a massive distraction because we don't know clearly what the strategy entails. So time pressures, responsibilities, having an easy and workable strategy that can, so having a clear content calendar. And then Rita, this is the one that we kind of thought we could combine, that I suppose principal and board pressures.
Yes, absolutely. Managing expectations, I'd say, is a big part of this, because when you consider a principal's focus is very much on keeping enrollments up, as is the board, often a marketer spends a lot of time trying to explain why they're taking the approach that they're taking, explain their strategy, as they're extremely concerned with the return on investment. So it's just making sure that you have the information to hand to explain why you're doing what you're doing.
I mean, to think about a one-stop easy solution to all those things, it comes down to communication, doesn't it? I mean, if a school marketer is very clear on how much time they've got allocated and how much sort of work they need to get through, making sure the communication's up about what their responsibilities are to all their other areas, making sure the communication's clear about their strategy, and then also communicating to your board and to your principal.
Great. I've thought of two more, actually. Oh, resourcing, wow. And budget. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Very important ones.
Okay, so hopefully that was a bit of a skim off the top, Tim. Thank you very much for your question. If you would like to know more about school marketing communications, obviously feel free to send in a question to smc@image7.com.au and we'll try our best to answer them. And of course, you can tweet us at @smc_podcast.
This is SMC. It's insight applied.
And now to our rants and raves, and it wouldn't be a school marketing communications podcast if we didn't talk about social media at some point. So we had to wedge it in there. This comes from an article that did the rounds in the office from Hootsuite, so a social media scheduling platform. And they did a huge glossary of social media definitions. And some of these were certainly new to us. So there were quite a few that jumped off as sort of some new favorites and have certainly already been overly heavily used. But some of these we think are really applicable. So we're going to run through some of our favorite ones and talk about why we think they're important. The first one to me, which made me laugh, was the term lurker. So the digital equivalent of the long-time listener, first-time caller, or someone who watches a social media feed in silence for a period of time before actually engaging. This made me laugh.
Lurking down alleyways.
I don't see why that has to have a term. I just think it's just someone who's just hasn't yet got engaged, but I think lurker is really funny. It kind of harks back to that point that we were talking about earlier about how far customers need to be along their decision-making journey before they sort of engage. But yeah, the idea of a lurker is quite funny.
There are a lot of parent lurkers on school websites, I think.
So quite negative connotations, but it's interesting.
Yeah. And then return on relationship. So we hear a lot about return on investment, but return on relationship is the measurement of the value gained by a person or business from developing a relationship. So obviously this is like ROI, quite often quite hard to measure. But something that I think is a really nice term, thinking about what your customers, what your prospective parents, what are they getting sort of in the relationship? What are they getting from their engagement with you? Are they getting the things that they want from your social media? Are they getting the things that they want from your inbound? Thinking about, yes, schools always think about our own return on investment. What are our prospective parents thinking? And then the last one, organic reach. So I'm hoping that everyone knows what organic reach is, but I actually picked this one because I don't think this is going to be around for too much longer. I think
controversial.
I don't know if it is, because I think any new wave school marketers coming in, I think we kind of know that it's going to be near impossible on social media to get much organic reach, to get to your own followers, the people that have already liked your page and engaged. It's going to become harder and harder. And soon that's just going to get phased out, I think, on the mainstream social media channels. So those are my top three. John, which ones do you lean towards?
I've got some absolute crackers here. This first one, I love brand advocate. I think this is such a great one because this is so important for schools as well. So a customer who loves your organization so much that they become an extension of your marketing team. So that, I think, is just a classic example of your parent who just absolutely loves the school, lives and breathes the school, sent all their kids there and will tell anyone and everyone about the school and how great it is. I mean, it's that word of mouth, transparent, authentic, your testimonial, that like absolutely the best type of marketing you could really have for a school. I mean, other parents trust parents and they absolutely love to hear about good schools from other parents and not just from the school. A second one, so stories. So this is in the context of social media, a form of ephemeral content on Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat that disappears after 24 hours. So ephemeral, am I saying that? Ephemeral, that's the one. Yep.
Yep. I think you just ephemeral. Pick it away and just run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that basically just means temporary content. So, you know, it could be images or video content that will stay up on either of those three platforms for 24 hours. Absolute all the rage at the moment and a great form of content to use on social media. And this one I loved so much. Okay, so JOMO, the joy of missing out. You've all heard of FOMO, the fear of missing out, but have you heard of the joy of missing out? So also known as the overwhelming inclination to binge Netflix, read a book, take a warm bath, or generally retreat from the craziness of the world.
That sounds like every school marketer's dream.
Oh, that's something that I wish I could want more. I get terrible FOMO sometimes. So when I saw JOMO, I was like, this is amazing. I have to mention that.
Rita, what were the top ones that jumped out for you?
Mine are very much run of the mill. No JOMOs for me. I think a couple of terms that are really important that hopefully people are quite familiar with, but they're really important when it comes to social media, managing your social media. Audience selector, particularly if you're setting up Facebook ads, it's really important to target the right people. Who's your audience? What are their demographics? You don't want to target people in the wrong geographic area. Block. We've all blocked people, I'm sure, on social media in the past. But, you know, it's a really a last solution, a last option for schools. But in a crisis media scenario, it's really important to know that you have that capability if someone has been offensive on your website or your social media page, which hopefully will never happen. And then also engagement rate, which is extremely important to just be mindful of that, to make sure that whatever you're putting on your page or in your social media platforms is that people are actually engaging with it. Otherwise, you need to rethink your relevant content.
Mm, nice. Well, this glossary is absolutely huge. So if you want to chuckle, but also want to be sort of consider yourself slightly more informed on all the different terms that are flying around, then head to the link in our show notes and I'm sure you will learn something new.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
So that brings us to the end of episode 154 of SMC. Our school marketing and social media survey for 2019 will be closing at the end of April. So if you haven't participated already, then please jump on the link in the show notes and take part. This is ideally going to be a resource that everyone can get some benefit from. So please head to image7.com.au/survey. So if you're listening from the Image7 website, why not pop over now to your favorite podcast player for your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. Search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications. If you have any questions, comments, rants or raves or deep dive topics, then please email us at smc@image7.com.au or tweet us at @SMC_podcast. That's it for this episode of SMC. From Rita, Jiggles and myself, Charlie. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Catch you later.